Numbers chapter 13. I know 4th of July is not till Tuesday, but happy 4th of July. It's all about celebrating the freedom that we have, the freedom that has been given to us in this country. Our forefathers have fought for, and we enjoy the benefits of it, just like Jesus Christ fought for our freedom on the cross of Calvary, and we enjoy all the benefits through his shed blood. And we're looking forward to what he has prepared for us in heaven, the mansions in his Father's house, all of heaven being lit up with the glory of the Lord, no need of the sun and moon, and just all tears being wiped away, no more death, no more disease, no more cancer, no more glasses, no more nuts and bolts and screws to keep your body intact, right? Everything will be perfect, and we're looking forward to that. But this morning, I want to talk to us about having the right vision, having the right vision. So in Numbers chapter 13, you're there, I'm not. Numbers chapter 13, let's look at verses 17 through 30. 17 through 30 of Numbers chapter 13. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south, and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron, and all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb steeled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Father, again, we do thank you. The time we can have together, we ask that you would bless our time. Would you establish our thoughts as we commit this hour unto you? Father, we ask that you would guide us through the scriptures according to your will. Teach us the things we need to learn. Remind us of what we need to remember. Guide us into all truth. Father, allow the word of God to truly be a lamp unto our feet. Show us where we're at in our walk with Christ, where we're at spiritually, and let it be the light unto our path, leading us in the right direction. But Lord, I pray it wouldn't just lead us, but Lord, help us to follow. Help us to faithfully follow you as you guide us through this life, as you guide us towards heaven. Father, looking forward to seeing our Lord and Savior face to face, but thank you for the time we have on this earth to enjoy life, to enjoy the blessings of the Lord, and to enjoy the journey with Christ. Father, I ask that you bless the children as well. Lord, continue to open up their hearts and their minds to understand the Bible lessons being taught today. We ask that the word of God would take root in their hearts to bring forth much fruit in their lives. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Again today, I want to talk to us about having the right vision. Caleb had the right vision. And we're looking at Caleb this morning. Both Caleb and Joshua had the right vision, though everybody else had the wrong vision because 10 men gave an evil report of the land that they went in. Yes, they brought back the report like Joshua and Caleb, saying the land is filled with milk and honey. It's full of blessings. Here's the fruit of it. Here's a cluster of grapes that's so large, two grown men have to carry it on a staff because it's so large. I mean, yes, it's truly what God said it would be. The blessings are there, but we can't have the blessings because the giants are too big. When you continue reading, I mean, that's exactly what those 10 spies will tell the whole congregation. We cannot go in. And that is why verse 30, Caleb stilled the people. He quieted them down and he said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Caleb was not prideful, arrogant. He wasn't full of himself. He didn't think, you know, he was some great, mighty military man that he could take on the world. But as we will see this morning, he had the right vision because his vision was focused on God who promised them the land, focused on the word of God that said he could have that mountain that Caleb later, as Joshua becomes the commander and takes the role that Moses departs the scene and Joshua takes over the leadership of Israel, and Joshua would allow Caleb to go and fight the giants and he would take over that mountain of Hebron, and God would give him that inheritance because he promised it to him. But it all starts with having a right vision. The God's people are led to the promised land. They've wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They see the promised land. They're going to enter into the promised land later with Joshua. Right now, under Moses' authority, they can't go in there. So they're going to wander around for 40 years in the wilderness. But God is so faithful to his people, and he's faithful to the ones who will have a true trusting heart towards him. Caleb proved he believed that God could do anything, and Joshua and Caleb would be the only two out of that generation that after 40 years would go in with the children that would grow up in the wilderness because of their faith in God, because they never lost their vision. If we ever lose our vision, we will lose the fight. We will lose the blessings that God has for us, because what is our vision? That we're to keep our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith. Caleb was to keep his eyes on his God who promised the land to Israel. The land of Israel belongs to the Jews, and they are not occupying all of it right now, but they will occupy all of it when the Lord returns for them and he sets up his kingdom. Some things I want us to think about, though, this morning in regards to having the right vision as we look at Caleb's faith and the vision that he had, that it is important that we have a motivating vision, that something in our life motivates us to live for the Lord, motivates us to trust God, to keep following the Lord. Everybody has a vision for something. Someone who, you know, wants to be a great athlete and wants to be on a, you know, professional athletic team of some sort, you know, as a kid going to high school and all that, their vision is getting to that place, and that's their focus, that's their drive, that's what they work for. Caleb had a different vision. His vision wasn't about him. His vision was about the Lord. Caleb's vision was about service and not survival. Can I remind us this morning, as God's people, we're not to be in the survival mode ever, because we have victory through Christ. Now, sometimes, you know, marriages get into a survival mode. Sometimes employment, you find, if you're employed, you find yourself just in survival mode. You know, you dread going to work, but you know you have to. You got to get the paycheck, pay the bills, take care of the family. You're just kind of in survival mode. But as a Christian, we're not supposed to be in survival mode. We're supposed to be in service mode, doing everything heartily as unto the Lord and still letting him do the work through us. Again, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Are we letting Christ live in us? We're sealed by the Spirit. We have his Spirit in us, but are we letting him live in us and through us? Are we allowing him to do the work that he wants to do in our life and through our life. The Christian vision is to be of thriving, not simply surviving. And our vision as well is to flow from God and his word. Our vision is not to be of any other source, but is to be from God and from his word. Romans chapter 2, verse 2 reminds us, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God wants us to know his perfect will for our life, and we can know it. We won't know all the details of our life and what he wants to accomplish, but you know what his will is? For us to be found faithfully following him, for us to be faithfully enjoying the blessings of the Lord. There's a time in Israel's life that God would show them two mountains, a mountain of blessing, a mountain of cursing, and he would tell his people, choose. Well, who doesn't want blessing, right? But the only way to get God's blessing is to follow God, regardless of what we face in life. Now, God is not some mean old ogre that he's just, you know, wants to terrify people, terrify his children, cause them heartaches and distress and all of that. He specifically, when you read scripture, did not tell his people about the giants. He told them about the blessings. He told them that it's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a land I'm going to give to you, right? And they go and they spy it out and they say it's exactly the way God said. It is a fruitful land. Man, has God blessed us, but you know what? God forgot to tell me it was going to be hard. God doesn't always tell us things that are going to happen in our life because, let's be honest, if we know every difficulty that's going to appear in our life that we have to go through, we would constantly choose a different path, right? We would not choose to go through it, even though David said, I'll fear no evil, right? As I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I'll fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We have to remind ourselves, wait, if I want to keep a right vision, my focus has to remain on God and what his will is for my life. God's will for Israel was to occupy that land. Now, unfortunately, some had a wrong vision. Their vision was short-sighted. They could only see the giants in front of them, but Caleb saw his God standing behind them. Even though we might find situations that we seem to be drowning under, it's over our head, it's still under his feet, right? It's still under God's feet. God is still in control. So when you think about the Jews during this Exodus, these 10 men discourage the people. They can't go in, but yet Caleb remains with a very faithful vision because his vision is on the one who gives the victory, on the one who promised the blessing. When you look at verse 30 again, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. We're well able. Caleb saw the giants too. Joshua saw the giants. Sometimes we think, well, nobody understands. We all have a life that we have to live, but God wants us to live it while we walk with him. In verse 30, the first thing I see is that Caleb had faith based on God's word. He had faith based on God's word. If you look at verses 1 and 2, same chapter. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. God speaking to Moses says, choose one man from each tribe and send them into the land of Canaan because I am going to give the land unto you for an inheritance. Caleb is trusting what God has said to Moses, but he's also trusting what God had said to Abraham. Listen to Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. You and I are blessed because of Abraham, because Jesus Christ is a Jew. He came from the nation of Israel. He came from the tribe of Judah. We're blessed because of Abraham. Caleb is blessed because he trusted what God had said, not just to Moses, but what God had said to Abraham, their forefather. Just as we have forefathers for our country, Abraham was the forefather for the nation of Israel, and Caleb believed what God had said way back then. How much of God's word do we believe? You realize there are some people that don't believe in the Old Testament, and there are some that don't even believe in all the New Testament. But God has given us all of his word. All scripture is profitable. It is given to us by God. You know what? Go to where I butcher it. Go to 1 Timothy, if you would. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Oh, I bet I messed it up. 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 3. I always get it mixed up. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. God spoke to Moses and God spoke to Abraham, but Caleb took it to heart that, hey, the blessing is for me, because God said to Abraham that everybody would be blessed through him. God told Abraham that he would have the land. God tells Moses the land belongs to his people, belongs to the Israelites, and Caleb trusted. He trusted God's word. He based his faith upon the truth of what God had said. Second thing I want you to think about in regards to Caleb, what we just see in verse 30 is the fact that his faith was blessed. His faith was blessed by the power of God. Because when you think about the life of Caleb, in Numbers chapter 13, he doesn't possess his inheritance yet. But if you know your Bible, he ends up inheriting his blessing, or he ends up inheriting the land that God said would be his. So you know the story. You know how it begins, you know how it ends. It begins with faith, it ends with faith. Because just jumping ahead in my notes, Caleb is about 40 years old right here at the beginning. He's around 85 years old when he finally defeats the giants at Hebron and takes the land. Over 40 years, he has to wait. He has to wait before he gets his inheritance. But he never wavered in his faith. God said it, I'm just going to wait on the Lord. We are a generation, and I say generation, just not just my generation. The people of America don't know how to wait on God, because we have things instantly. And if I can't have it instantly, I'm going to go somewhere else. Right? I mean, microwaves are a blessing and a curse. A blessing because I can, you can heat something up in a matter of seconds, but they're a curse because all that radiation does take a toll on your body, right? But we don't look at that. We don't look at the cursing of it. We look at the blessing. Yeah, but I can have a hot meal. I can have some hot coffee, some hot tea, whatever, out of that microwave. I'm just saying that we have to continue to learn how to wait on God, and sometimes it takes a while because God is a God of order. God had to, in this account, God has to allow one generation to die off, the next generation to be raised up to lead them into the promised land under the leadership of Joshua and Caleb being one of those men. Again, my faith, your faith is always going to be tested, but our faith has to be based upon the truth of what God has already said he will do in our life. He that hath begun a good work in you will finish it, right? God is going to continue working in our life if we let him and if we continue walking by faith. But I see that Caleb's faith was blessed by the power of God. Because in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30, Caleb is trusting the Lord. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. God's already given them victory over the wilderness. He gave them victory over Egypt. He has continued to bless his people by his might. Not by the might of the people, but by his might. And Caleb is trusting in the power of God. And Joshua 14, verse 9, the Bible says, Moses swore on that day to Caleb, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Joshua is told, because you have wholly followed, you never wavered, you never doubted, you remained faithful, that land that your feet have trodden upon, Hebron, is yours. And he takes it. We already know it. The Bible tells us that he takes it, right? Caleb had to follow God with his whole heart from beginning to end. And God promises to supply all of our need, whatever it is, good time, bad times, difficult times, pleasant times, God promises to supply all of our need, whatever it is we need. You know what? Caleb needed strength at 85 years old. I hope I have, if the Lord tarries and I live to be 85, I hope I still have strength. 85 years old, Caleb goes and takes a mountain, and he defeats giants. You realize there are giants in your life that you can still defeat? The giant of fear, the giant of doubt. Whatever the giants are that we face in our lives, we can defeat them through the power of Christ. Through having our faith based upon God's word that I have victory in Christ, and we rely upon the power of God. Paul said, I'd rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know why we have a free country? Because there were some people that had a vision of going to a new place to have a country where they have the freedom to worship. Now, has there been difficulties in our country from conception to now? Yeah. That's just life, right? Not everybody wants everybody to be happy and free. But again, having that vision that drives us and motivates us and helps us to remain faithful to God. To remain faithful to God and to allow the Lord to truly work in our favor. Again, because we are celebrating the 4th of July this month, I mean, our country has freedoms because there were people that had a vision. Do you have a vision? I mean, if you're married or ever been married, you had a vision before you got married. How marriage would be, how the home would be, how the family would be. Now, whether or not it has turned out that way, you still had a vision, and not everybody, you know, joins in with your vision, right? But we all have a vision for something. I have a vision for the church. I have a vision for my marriage, and praise the Lord, you know, I've celebrated our 30th anniversary. You know, that God was gracious to me, that he allowed me to meet my wife at 15 years old. And my wife knows this because it wasn't me that told her. It was a friend of mine that told her at that time, he's talked about marrying you, that he wants to marry you, 15. I can't explain how I knew she was the one and that's who I want to spend the rest of my life with. But by God's grace, we've celebrated 30 years. I had a vision. I had a vision to have a life with her. What I'm saying is, do we have a vision with our relationship with Christ? Because my marriage doesn't work unless the both of us have a relationship with Christ. I mean, it'll work halfway, right? But we have to have a relationship with Christ. Whatever it is we want to do in life, there has to be a vision. Because you know what? Marriage is a blessing. Children are a heritage of the Lord. But I'm going to personally stand alone before my Savior and give an account for the life that I lived. Did I have a vision for Him? Did I have motivation to live for Him? Did I accomplish His will for my life? Did I seek His will? Did I fight the good fight of faith? Caleb had a vision, and he remained true to that vision because he remained true to his God. We see also that Caleb's faith pleased God. Remember, God is pleased with our faith. And when I look at Caleb in Numbers and I see him just stealing the people, he truly trusted the Lord. He didn't allow someone else's non-faith to deter him from being faithful. Listen. Yes, we are to live peaceably with all men as much as lies within us, right? But there's supposed to be one person who's number one in our life, and that is Jesus Christ. He's the one I'm supposed to please. Yes, I have a wife that I am married to, I'm supposed to take care of, children I'm supposed to take care of. Those aren't just blessings from the Lord, but those are responsibilities. But again, I can't properly do any of my roles unless I'm faithful to the one who's given me this life. Caleb remained faithful at trusting the Lord, and it pleased God, because we're reminded in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. It doesn't matter what other people say. Do we still believe that God can do anything? That God can supply our every need? That I can do all things through Christ? That God truly wants to bless me, and the way He wants to bless me is by me being faithful. Faithful to Him, because again, out of 12 spies, only two of them got to go into the promised land. You know what? Out of your family, you may be the only one that goes into the promised land. You may be the only one that receives the blessings of God in your life because you've remained faithful to God. You've remained faithful following Him, faithful at letting Him accomplish His will in your life and through your life. Caleb and Joshua are the only two adults brought out of Egypt that got to go into the promised land. The children grew up in the wilderness. The ones that didn't refuse to go in because they were children. They weren't given the opportunity to choose. But Caleb remained faithful to the Lord. Look at chapter 14, verse 8 and 9. I want you to see the spirit. Now, the spirit of Caleb's faith. The vision of his faith was the Lord, God's promises, and God's power in his life. But now in verses 8 and 9, we just look at his spirit. In Numbers chapter 14, look down at verse 8. If the Lord delight in us, then, this is Caleb speaking, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. I mean, Caleb has this spirit about him that he is resolved that it's done. The victory's already given. You know why we have victory in our life, even though you may still have trials to go through? Because Jesus Christ said we have victory. We already have victory in this world because He's given us the victory. Now, yes, I would like to not have to go through wildernesses, deserts in my life. I'd like to not have to face hardships and tough decisions. But I'm glad that when I remember, I have victory. I don't face this alone. God showed them a marvelous land, beautiful. Enough for their families. I mean, they brought back the fruit of it. I mean, here's the proof to the rest of the congregation that what God told us through Moses, it's true. But what does the devil want in your life and my life? To always focus on the negative. Focus on what God didn't tell you. God didn't tell me there would still be giants in my life that I have to face as a Christian, as a born-again believer. No, because guess what? If he did, if God revealed to us everything that was going to happen in our life, don't raise your hand, don't shake your head, just think. Would you honestly follow the Lord? I'd be honest, probably not. It would be hard seeing everything that I have faced in my life up to this point and then being able to see the rest of my days. Lord, that's not fair. I mean, remember, Peter said, Lord, we've left all to follow you. What do we get? And Jesus told Peter and the others, you really haven't left everything. But he did. He left his glory. He came. He lived a life. He died on an old rugged cross for sins and crimes that he didn't commit so that you and I could have life. One thing I want to remind us of, I mean, people like to live in the past. Some people like to live in past difficulties, never getting victory over it. And some people like to live in past victories. They call them the glory days. That's why so many people want to, some men want to regain their youth because they think, you know, life was better back then. Remember, even the Israelites told Moses, we're going back to Egypt because we remember the leeks, the onions. I mean, we had it better off. I mean, we're 3 days in the wilderness and God hasn't given us food, hasn't given us water. See, the devil always wants us to think things were better before Christ in our life. Because it seems like since I asked Christ to be my Savior, man, things have gotten harder. Well, yeah, because you're no longer under bondage. You're no longer enslaved to the devil and his devices. We have victory. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. No longer are we condemned under the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. We have a new life. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God truly has blessed us, and we have not entered the promised land yet. I mean, that's when we enter through those pearly gates into heaven, into that place that's been prepared for God's people. All right? You and I have not entered into that land yet, but we do have blessings in our life. We have peace in our life. We have a relationship with our Heavenly Father, with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you think about the spirit of Caleb's faith, it never wavered. He did not let the evil communications corrupt his good manners. He says, if the Lord delight in us, and he does delight in you. He does delight in you, and he delights in me because we are his children. He says, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. He begs with them. He pleads. Look, God can do it, just don't rebel against him. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were faced with death. And they were told by Nebuchadnezzar, I'll give you one more chance. You bow down when you hear the music playing and you worship my golden statue, I'll let you live. But if you don't, you're going to be thrown into that fire. You're going to die. And those three answered Nebuchadnezzar and said, we're not careful in answering you this. They said, our God is able to deliver us not only out of the furnace, but out of your hands. And if he doesn't, if God chooses not to because God's in control, I don't know what God's will is. Maybe God's will is for us to be thrown into the fire. But they said, if not, if God chooses not to deliver us, we're still not bowing. The right vision is whether God blesses me or curses me, I'm still going to faithfully follow him. Some people will only follow God if he blesses. But God blesses faith towards him. Not faith in what can be done, but faith towards him. again, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Doesn't say, you know, he that cometh to God must believe that he can change all my circumstances and make me happy and make me wealthy and all of this, make me, you know, cancer free and all of this. God does bless in those areas, but it's not about us going to God to get what we can get. It's going to him because we believe he can do whatever he wants in my life. And whatever he's going to do and allow, I completely trust him. Caleb here again, he's telling the people, trust God, trust what he said. Just don't rebel against him with fear and doubt and turning your back on him. Caleb had the right belief. He believed that God could deliver the enemies into their hand. Look back very quickly at verse 6, chapter 14, verse 6. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land. Sometimes people want to say, well, you just don't understand. You don't have the life that I have. No, I don't. That's the beauty of it. I don't have your life, and you don't have mine. But we both have someone who lived a perfect life so we could have victory. And he wants to live his life through us. But Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, they saw the giants, they saw the fruit of it. They spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. Again, he puts the focus on God. All right? 10 spies, evil report. Listen, it's not me and it's not them. It's God that you're going to be rebelling against if you don't go into the promised land by faith. He said, only rebel not ye against the Lord. Then he says, neither fear ye the people of the land. The first focus is God. It's Christ. Because you know what? When we don't follow by faith, we are rebelling. When we don't trust by faith, we're rebelling. When we don't believe by faith, we're rebelling. And when we don't do what God has shown us to do, we're rebelling. Sure, names come into our minds of other people we can think of, but we always have to draw the circle around us. Lord, is it I? Lord, where am I faltering in my faith towards you? Where am I not being faithful? Where am I not trusting you, Lord? Because I want to have that faith, that faith that is unshakable, that faith that is, it is founded upon the rock of Christ. I mean, my anchor holds upon Jesus Christ. My faith is based upon what God has said he will do in my life. It's based upon God's faithfulness. It's based upon God providing whatever I need when I need it. It's based upon his protection. Because he said that we have been predestined to be conformed into the image of Christ. So guess what? Sometimes we have to go through the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes we have to go through the wilderness where it seems like there's no provisions, but yet God provides because he gives us the strength to endure, the strength to go through it. I mean, there's so many examples in Scripture you can look to, but think about Job. To me, it seemed like Job didn't deserve what he went through because God said of Job to the devil, have you considered my servant Job, an upright man? He eschews evil. He fears me. He loves me. He's faithful to me. And yet God let some things happen in Job's life that was unfair, humanly speaking and humanly looking at. That's not fair. I mean, if Job is all those things, and if we are all those things, we love God, we fear God, we eschew evil. We don't want any sin attached to our life. We, You know, we want God to be pleased. We do everything heartily as unto the Lord, and yet bad things still happen. Temptations still come that we have to, am I going to falter? Am I going to give in to that temptation? Am I just going to cling to the Lord? Again, having the right spirit is, my life belongs to the Lord. He will give me the strength I need to resist the temptation, to resist the devil. I'll draw nigh unto the Lord. He'll draw nigh unto me. Caleb had the right belief that God can deliver and God will bless those who follow by faith. He had the right attitude. It really does help to have the right attitude. Look back at verse 13, just a couple more minutes. Verse 13, verse 32. And they brought up an evil report of the land, the ten, that they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. All right, the majority had the discouraging report, but then back in chapter 14, verse 7, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. That's Caleb and Joshua. But Caleb, he said, no, it's a good land. The only way you and I and God's people can really have a blessed life is to keep the faith, to keep the right vision. But you know what? My life belongs to the Lord. That, you know what? Whatever I face, I want to have that faith that's unresolved, that, no, God's going to help me through it. And not because I'm going to go read some other book or try some other, you know, activity, but I'm going to trust God's word. I'm going to follow him as I trust his word. Again, when you just think about it, I mean, I got more notes, but just, I think this one verse, if we remember anything this morning, take your Bibles and look at Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. And just take this one verse and really take the one phrase out of this verse. And let's apply it to our life and even ask the Lord, Lord, help me to be faithful to this verse. Joshua 14:14, it says, Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. That's his testimony. Remember Enoch's testimony? Enoch's testimony was that he walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. His testimony was he walked with God. Caleb's testimony is that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Holy means without wavering, without doubting. Yes, the temptation of doubt, the temptation of fear comes, the temptation of to question what God is doing. But true faith denies the temptation and just wholly follows our Lord. Wholly follows Jesus Christ, the one who has given us this new life. And Jesus said in Matthew 22, verse 37, when someone questioned him, what is the great commandment? What's the greatest commandment in God's word? What is the one thing that I should really hold on to that God said? And Jesus responded, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Because you know what? When we truly do love God with all of our heart, mind, spirit, body, strength, then guess what? Like Caleb, we have the right vision. That vision is, how can I glorify God through this? How can I lift up Christ through this? How can I remain faithful to the one who's been faithful to me? And listen, don't let the devil beat you up. Don't let the devil rob you of the blessings of the Lord. All the devil can do to us is cause us to think things that aren't true. Does God love you? Yes. How do I know? He manifested on the cross of Calvary through Jesus Christ. Well, how do I know he still loves me? Because he's still working in my life. You know what? If we find ourselves not feeling bad about not having a better relationship with God, if we find ourselves not feeling bad, not thinking I need to, you know, work on it, or I've probably made God mad. I mean, that's a good thing to feel bad. It's a good thing to feel like, you know what, I've let God down. Because you know what, we have. There's been times we've let him down, but it lets us know that God's still working and God's drawing us and saying, hey, okay, yeah, you did mess up, and you need to recognize it. You need to own up to it. You need to confess it. But just like Jesus dealt with Peter through love and grace. Again, I'm glad my name is not in this book and my life is not in this book for everyone to see where I've doubted and where I've feared in my life. So we always look to Peter, right? Peter's the one we pick on. But when we look at Peter on the shores of Galilee, go ahead and stand. When we look at Peter, after he denied the Lord three times, he did something he said he would not do, and yet he did it. He felt bad. The Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. He felt so bad, he felt Jesus didn't want anything to do with him, even though Jesus would appear to him, right, in that upper room, show himself alive, and yet Peter still goes off fishing because he feels like, you know, okay, he showed himself, but it wasn't just me, it was everybody in the room. So he probably really wasn't there for me. He was there for everybody else. But then Jesus appears on the shores of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, as Peter and the others are fishing. And when they understand it's Jesus, because John says it's Jesus, they all go to shore. Peter jumps in. He swims to shore. The Bible says he's sitting there. Jesus had prepared a meal. You know, they had fished all night, caught nothing. Well, Jesus, he provides fish and bread for them, provides a fire so, you know, Peter can actually warm himself because he's all wet, right, from jumping in the sea. When you read that account, Jesus doesn't address anybody but Peter. Peter, do you love me? Hey, Lord, you know I love you. How much time goes on, I don't know, but then he asks again, Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. You know, he says, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. But the third time Jesus asks him, do you love me? The Bible says Peter was grieved. Probably because it was probably registering with him. He's asked me three times if I love him. I denied him three times, which shows I don't love him, right? But the Lord says, feed my sheep. He says some other things, but then he tells Peter, follow me. You'll never read where Jesus condemns him or even brings up his failure of denying him. Not once. He just says, do you love me? Well, feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Okay, now follow me. Peter had the wrong vision after denying Christ, and Jesus said, look, get your vision back right. Get your focus back on me. I forgive you because I know that you didn't mean it. I know your heart. I know your spirit. You've already confessed me as your Lord and Savior. You just allowed the moment of fear to take over instead of trust. Because he's not giving us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And the Lord said, follow me. He had to get his focus, his vision back on the Lord. That's the beautiful thing about our Savior. We may feel bad about what we've done, and we should, when and if we ever do anything wrong towards the Lord. But then that's that soft, still voice that reminds us, I love you. Do you love me? Well, let's take care of this. Let's cleanse you up through the blood of Christ, and let's keep going. Let's keep going, because God wants us to finish the race that he has set before us. He loves you, he cares for you, and he gives you the strength to be like Caleb. Faithful, resolved to always trust, always follow, and to patiently wait on the Lord whatever God wants to do.